I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Let's spend a few minutes on net neutrality. And before you turn the dial, I know net neutrality can be a little confusing, but know that in about a minute, you'll understand it really well. Okay, so you've probably heard that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, voted last week to scrap rules on net neutrality. Those rules had been put in place by the Obama administration, and they prevented internet service providers like Verizon and Comcast from blocking certain websites or charging more for certain content. It is confusing if you're not thinking about this stuff all the time. So here's an analogy we found really helpful.
So my analogy for what net neutrality means, I'll give the analogy in terms of cars and gas stations.
That's Vishal Misra. He's a professor of computer science at Columbia University. He says, think of your internet service provider, your ISP, as the gas station. And the model of your car, that represents the websites and apps you use, like Netflix or YouTube.
So net neutrality means that the ISP should be both price neutral as well as quality of service neutral. And the analogy is, if I go to a gas station, then the gas station doesn't get to decide whether gas is cheaper for a Toyota or a Ford. The ISP should not decide that this website is cheaper to use than the other one. The other aspect of net neutrality is the ISP should be quality of service neutral, in the sense that, you know, when I drive up to a gas station, the ISP should not decide whether I get 93 octane or 87 octane. That's my choice. The ISP should just deliver what I want.
So what happens to consumers now that net neutrality rules are scrapped? According to FCC Chair Ajith Pai, not much really.
The sky isn't falling. Consumers will remain protected, and the internet will continue to thrive.
But net neutrality advocates like Vishal Misra don't agree. Misra says down the line, we could be paying more to access some websites. But in the short term, it will be up to the content providers themselves to do the paying so that their websites are not slowed down or blocked altogether. For heavyweights like YouTube and Netflix, that may not be a problem, but it could be impossible for smaller independent websites. Lucy Flores is a good person to talk about this. She's with MeToo, that's MITU, the digital first media company, was founded just 5 years ago. And today it reaches about 100 million people in the U.S.
We serve primarily Latino and person of color, millennial audience. And so, you know, for us, it's really concerning that these big cable companies and telecommunication companies, there literally is nothing stopping any of them now from saying, well, YouTube, well, Snapchat, we're going to charge you extra now because you're producing X amount of videos or longer content or whatever. And those of us who use those platforms to distribute our content, they may very well pass along those charges to us. And we have no idea what's going to happen now or whether or not this is going to essentially charge us out of existence.
MeToo was founded in 2012, a few years before the Obama administration passed the 2015 internet order on net neutrality that the FCC voted to reverse last week. Just tell us, what did the 2015 order do for you? Did it help you and MeToo reach your target audience?
Well, what the 2015 order did for us and many other smaller digital startups is that it really just continued to solidify rules that had cumulatively been in place that protected access to the internet for all companies and for all people. I mean, these regulations didn't just begin in 2015. This actually has been something that has started ever since the dial-up modem.
Lucy, do you think MeToo would have grown as big and fast as it did in this new no net neutrality age?
Absolutely not. You know, we were able to build out our digital media company through the media distribution channels that were available for free to us. This is why it's also so important because, you know, we produce content that speaks to a Latino and multicultural audience. When you look at the media landscape, how is that content going to be produced? How are diverse content creators who don't have $1 million laying around, how are they going to enter these marketplaces if they might not be able to afford the access fees?
Lucy Flores, she's with MeToo, that's MITU, a web-based content platform. Lucy, thanks very much for your point of view on this.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go back now to Columbia University's Vishal Misra, because in addition to having great analogies, he also knows a lot about net neutrality in his native India. You see, as the U.S. moves to dismantle its net neutrality rules, India is moving in the opposite direction. India's telecommunications regulator has created a net neutrality framework that some say is the strongest in the world. I asked Misra what it feels like to be watching the opposite happening here in the U.S.
I find it humorous because I was very involved in the Indian process. My research area is actually a part of it is internet economics. And the definition that I gave for network neutrality, the pro-net neutrality citizens movement in India adopted that definition. And the regulator also actually ended up passing regulations that are very consistent with that definition. So it's very bittersweet for me that, you know, in the country of my origin, I was able to make a difference and they have the strongest net neutrality laws, whereas here it's moving in the opposite direction.
Yeah, so why do you think this debate is playing out so differently in India and the U.S.?
One of the reasons is in India, the regulatory authority is led by a person who doesn't have any political affiliation. He's a bureaucrat, but a very wise and smart bureaucrat who's actually a computer science graduate. Hmm. So he understands the issues. He understands the internet really deeply. Unfortunately, in the U.S., the FCC has commissioners that are appointed on a party line basis. So whoever the president is gets three commissioners, the opposing party gets two commissioners, and the vote often is ideologically driven. Whereas in India, the head of TRAI, the regulatory authority in India, he ran a process which was very fair, open. He took in a lot of input. He had open houses where he took questions. He answered questions. He probed at it from every angle. Mm. So the process there was very different from the way the process ran. Yeah.
So you're about to head to India on a trip, I gather. Given how involved you were in shaping India's policy on net neutrality, I imagine you're going to get peppered with all kinds of questions on where the U.S. is moving with all this.
Yeah, I'm sure. In fact, the day after I land, I'm giving a talk on net neutrality at my alma mater, IIT Bombay. And I'm sure they'll pepper me with questions on what happened and why it happened. And I think what happened, the FCC vote that happened, is not going to help competition on the internet. So if you're a dominant player already, then this is good for you. But if you're looking for the next Google or next Facebook to emerge, it's going to get tougher. So competition is always good for the consumer in the long run. And, you know, tomorrow you may not feel the impact of this, but in the long run, I think getting more ideas to compete evenly on the internet. Internet should be a platform where ideas battle, not money.
Could this have a ripple effect in India?
I don't think so. The Indian government actually is very pleased with the regulations that have been passed. And even after the FCC vote happened, the minister in charge of this in India said, you know, we'll stay true to net neutrality.
And how do they characterize that move? I mean, how do they see that kind of commitment to staying with net neutrality as opposed to, hey, let the big fat cats win at this game?
You know, India is, you can say India is the next startup nation after Israel. There's a lot of entrepreneurial activity in the online and internet space happening in India. And they want to encourage new ideas, so they might see net neutrality as a competitive advantage.
Vishal Misra, a professor of computer science at Columbia University. There's a whole lot more to say on net neutrality, of course, and you can count on us to stay on the story, a more accessible story now that you've got that handy gas station car analogy.